So Totally Business Savvy, episode 36. Good day, everybody. This is Dean Soto with So Totally Business Savvy, and once again, we are here to talk about some small business stuff. All right, if you can't tell, this is going to be a very fun show. We are going to get some feedback from Harry from My Eco Guy, Pawrific, My Eco Maid. This guy, he has a whole bunch of stuff, but he's going to give an update, a very cool voicemail update on what's going on with him. And he's been listening for quite a while, so that's going to be cool. And then we're going to have an interview with the virtual business lifestyle guy, Chris Ducker, and that's going to be amazing. All that coming up. Hey everyone, welcome once again to So Totally Business Savvy. So Totally Business Savvy, that's right. If you don't know, So Totally Business Savvy is a play on my last name, Soto. So Totally Business Savvy. And we talk about small business stuff, mainly getting started, how to get started, ideas on what to do in order to really take your non-existent business into an existent business, or to take your existent business to the next level. And that's what we do here on So Totally Business Savvy, whether it's tips from me, whether it's tips from the audience, or ideas from people who we interview. And so that's what we do here. But one thing I want to get right into is an update from Harry from My Eco Guy. And Harry and I have been talking back and forth via email for quite some time now. And if you ever have any questions or feedback or comments, or just want to say hello, feel free to send me an email. You can email me at dean@prosulum.com, dean@prosulum.com, and I will gladly send you an email back. But you have to be forewarned. I really am bad at sending emails back, because I blog, and I actually have a number of blogs, but I hate writing. I've never gotten to the habit of wanting to write. It really takes like an aha moment for me to sit down and go, let me bust out a blog post. So the same thing kind of happens with email. It takes so long for me to actually feel the need or the desire to write back. And this has gotten me in so much trouble. But what I'll do typically is I'll actually email back just a very short sentence saying, why don't we chat on Skype? Or why don't I give you a call? Or that's how Doug Noble and I ended up having a really good relationship. Was I actually just told him, hey, call me, because I suck at responding to emails. But so if you ever email me, just know that. And sometimes what I'll do is I'll actually send you a voicemail thing back from my iPhone, because it's just so much easier for me to do that. And so, yeah, I'd rather respond to you in some way than to wait 13, 14, 15, 30, 60 days and so on for you to get something back. And I think you would appreciate that as well. But you will get something back from me. I will never just ignore your email. You will get something back from me, I promise. All right, so let's go straight to his voicemail feedback. And if you have any feedback whatsoever, I love when we get feedback, especially because you might say, especially with a question, you might be thinking in your head, this is a question that he probably always gets in emails, or this is a question that it might be a dumb question, or I'm scared to leave an email because I might mess up. You know what? Who cares? A lot of the times, your question is what 100, maybe even 1,000 other people are thinking and wanting to know. So feel free to call and leave a voicemail, because a lot of people need your help with that question. And you know what? I might not necessarily have the answer, but I will find the answer in some way, whether it's through asking someone else who's done it before and having them come on the podcast or whatever. And you know, not too long ago, I actually put out a thing saying, you know, that I was going to ask some people, you know, if you had any questions for, if you had any people who you wanted me to interview, I will contact them. And I am in the process of contacting those people. So anyway, I don't know where that came from, but definitely send me an email because, you know, a lot of people out there have the same questions you do, or, you know, it's just good sometimes to feel like you aren't the only one listening to me. And likewise, I like knowing that I could see the statistics on how many people are subscribed to my podcast and so on, but it's really, really cool to be able to, I don't know, to interact with people that are doing the same thing that I am or are maybe a couple years back from where I am and so on. And I need to learn too. Maybe you have something, maybe you want to reprimand me. You can reprimand me as well, but don't be afraid. And especially if you're afraid that you're going to mess up on the voicemail, who cares? Mess up on the voicemail, call back, send another one. If you do it 10 times, if you have to take 10 takes with it, that's fine. Who cares? I have no problem listening to you 10 times. Okay. All right. So this is some feedback from Harry, and he is he is definitely a good friend. And like I said, we email back and forth. So take it away, Harry.
Hey, Dean, it's Harry, my eco guy. And it's taken me a long time to actually connect via voicemail, as I would refer to it. And I just wanted to drop you, first of all, a thank you for all your, encouraging and great podcasts. And then also wanted to let you know a little bit more about some of the things that I have going on that I'm trying to work through via My Eco Guy and also via MyEcoMade.com, where I'd like to try to basically narrow it down to one site and put it all under the My Eco Guy umbrella. That way, every week when we talk about the eco-friendly topics, in business and the animal world and just in various areas, that we can go ahead and focus on one and basically give folks the good, clean content, hopefully, and make it a little bit easier for me as well. Also wanted to run something by you in regards to what I'm planning on doing with PaulRiffick.com, and something that I'm not sure I've mentioned yet is naturalpetgrocer.com, which actually will be the main site for our online store for folks that would be interested in finding out more about eco-friendly dog products and pet products in general. But look forward to touching base sometime, and again, keep up the great job with the show, and of course, as I mentioned many times in a number of emails, I do appreciate everything that you've done and are doing, and I know a lot of folks that listen do as well. So great job, and I will talk to you soon. All right, bye.
Thanks so much, Harry. That means so much, seriously. I'm so glad to hear about your updates, and yes, we will definitely talk together about what's going on. In fact, we need to Skype together rather than email back and forth. So if you can Skype me, I think if you look at the signatures in my email that I sent you, you will find my Skype address, I think. If you don't, then I'll just email you my Skype username. And so anyway, yeah, the thing is, I think that is a great idea that you're putting everything under one or two different things, because I found, at least for me, when I am stretched all over the place, it sucks. As much as you feel like you're doing so much because you have this site and that site, I had prosulum.com, youcanworkless.com, productivecatholic.com, restaurantbusinesspodcast.com. I actually still have all those. I don't mess with prosulum.com anymore. In fact, yeah, you can see if you go over there, there's not really much there. It's just kind of like a blog, and I'm going to just make that into kind of like a landing page, portfolio site, and so on. But you know, there's all these different things that are going on, and while you might feel like, wow, I'm doing so much stuff, none of it is really, you know, making a huge impact. And so to put everything under one thing is such a great idea. And that's what I've basically done with my business for the web development stuff, is I put everything under kind of one thing. And so a lot of the passive income stuff that I do is kind of just like a side hobby. I don't really put too much in the way, too much effort into that. I might have my virtual assistants do that, but at least right now as it is, I don't put too much effort into those. Don't get me wrong, like So Totally Business Savvy, the podcast, I put a lot of time into it and I love it, and this is my baby and I love helping anyone that I can. But at the same time, the majority of my revenue comes from my web development stuff. So at least until that changes, if things kind of start moving out and changing passive wise, then I might focus more on that. But you have to play off of what works. So for you, you know, if My Eco Guy and My Eco Maid are two different things that could be put into one thing, definitely put it into one under one thing. And likewise with Pawrific and Natural Pet Grocer. The only thing that I would consider, is Pawrific is actually Pawrific, P-A-W, Rific, R-I-F-I-C, is actually a pretty cool brand. And if you want to take it kind of, if you want to grow from local to national, I think that is a very, very, very cool brand. Because Natural Pet Grocer is just, it's kind of, to me, and this is just my opinion. To me, when I hear Natural Pet Grocer, I think of those restaurants when you're driving, you know, those restaurants when you're driving by and it'll say burgers, or it'll say milkshake and burgers. The store itself is just saying, hey, this is what we have. But, you know, you go to different other brands like McDonald's. If I were to say McDonald's to someone who had no idea what McDonald's was ever, which obviously is pretty rare, maybe if I went to the jungles of Ecuador, if I said, hey, how about we go to McDonald's? They are going to say, what? But as soon as they realize what it is, this name sticks. Same thing with Five Guys Burgers. Same thing with Elevation Burger, which you're over in Collegeville. You need to go try Elevation Burger. That is a restaurant brand that I helped develop, and that it is amazing, and they have a really good store there. Anyway, but these brands, while they might not say what exactly the item is, they stick very well. To me, I remember Pawrific much easier than Pet Grocer, and it's much easier to tell other people about Pawrific. In fact, I had introduced him to a friend of mine who does some PR stuff and is also doing a designer dog necklace thing. And Pawrific was very easy to say, Harry runs a organic dog toy food and so on store. It's called Pawrific. Very easy to say, rather than Natural Pet Grocer. Well, if you're a Natural Pet Grocer, that's fine. You could do Pawrific, your Natural Pet Grocer. Have that as your tagline, your Natural Pet Grocer, or America's Natural Pet Grocer, or something like that. But just in my opinion, if you are going to brand something and you are going to create a brand, especially if you're going to do some PR for that brand, like you're going to do a press release, if you have a press release that says, you know, Pawrific is the only organic dog toy thing in North America, that's a lot more newsworthy than natural pet grocer is such and such. Same, you know, you think of Fresh and Easy, or you think of Whole Foods, or you think of Trader Joe's. All of these are brands that are that started off very small, but have grown. I mean, definitely keep the local mindset, but you are able to grow out your brand through that brand name recognition and so on. So that's just me. That's just my opinion. Branding is huge and is a very important part of your business. And I probably wouldn't get rid of Pawrific. I would take that to, I would switch it around and have Natural Pet Grocer be under Pawrific and maybe just have that as your tagline. But that's that. I mean, think of Petco. But that is cool, my friend. Seriously, I can't wait to catch up, and I think you're doing the right thing when it comes to consolidating and so on. I need to do that a lot more. In fact, I just got rid of one of my LinkedIn. I had two LinkedIn accounts, one for stuff that I do for my web dev stuff and stuff that I do for my restaurant business stuff. And I might have made a mistake, but I don't think so. I kind of want to move into the restaurant business, restaurant franchise development stuff. I've been doing that and been doing pretty well with it. And so I got rid of my web dev stuff because one of the main things was it was kind of all over the place anyway. It gives me a chance to start over. Anyway, as an entrepreneur, you have to take risks. You have to make decisions. You have to do something or else you will die and you will... that's the thing that makes an entrepreneur different than everyone else. You're willing to take risks and you're really willing to do things that might not necessarily be the best thing or the right decision, but guess what? You've made a decision and nobody else has the guts to do that. So they work in they stay and in their little happy world, earning a certain salary for the rest of their lives and then being able to enjoy life at 65 for a couple of years and they hope that they're not going to pass away. I'd rather not be that person. I'd rather be the person who works extremely, extremely hard, takes a lot of calculated risks and has fun doing it and has a horrible time doing it as well. And in the end, being able to win out and enjoy the fruits of labor, the fruits of the labor that came as a result of hard work. So, anyway, so thanks, Harry. Honestly, thank you so much for that feedback. It really means a lot. And if you want to leave feedback, definitely send me a voicemail at 714-643-5301, or you can record a little voice memo in your iPhone and shoot that to me at dean@prosulum.com, DEAN at PROSULUM.com. All right. And go visit myecoguy.com. I was going to say myecomade, but go to myecoguy.com. There's actually some really cool posts on there if you want to learn how to do some green business stuff. Myecoguy.com, and go visit Natural Pet Grocer. I think you can go ahead and Google that, but also visit pawrific.com. That being said, let's go right into the interview with Chris Ducker. Now, if you don't know who Chris Ducker is, he is the virtualbusinesslifestyle.com author, and he is pretty amazing. I can't believe what he's been able to do with his business. He runs a huge business that is all based around virtual assistants and helping different entrepreneurs leverage virtual assistants to get their jobs done and so on. But without further ado, this is the interview with Chris Ducker. All right, everyone. I am here with a gentleman that is, he's done so much when it comes to not only outsourcing, but just building an amazing business. And I can't wait to pick his brain and see, where this interview and this journey kind of takes us. But Chris Ducker, very, very popular from the Virtual Business Lifestyle. Amazing, amazing fellow. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for asking me on. It's been a while putting this together schedule-wise, but I hope that we can capture something good for your readers.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I have no doubt that that's going to happen. So, give us a quick snapshot of who you are for your kind of not 30 seconds pitch, but for someone who's never heard of you before, who are you and what do you do?
Sure. Well, I've been in business 20-odd years. Industries have focused around sales, marketing, and branding. That's pretty much what I've done my entire career. About 11 years. I'll fast forward those first 9 years because they're just boring. For about the last 11 years, I've been living here in the Philippines, in Southeast Asia, full-time. And I came over here initially as a consultant, worked with a few call centers and telemarketing companies, and did some sales and marketing consulting for some pretty large brands over here. And then about 5 years ago, I set up the Live to Sell Group, which is an outsourcing firm. We do everything from telemarketing to customer service, chat support, ticket support, technical support, all that sort of fun stuff. That's basically it. That's what I do. I'm an outsourcing guy. I've been in the game about 10 years now. And, there's a few subsidiaries under the Live to Sell Group, Virtual Star Finder being one. And we're just about to launch another one called Your Web PA. And everything's going great, man. You know, it's a funny old game being an entrepreneur, but I wouldn't be playing any other game, put it that way.
That's awesome, man. Doing so much. I found you off of your virtual business lifestyle blog, a while back, and you really piqued my interest just in what you were doing, and. And it's just such an amazing story. How did you start? Because your business, at least your primary business, is what, 200-300 people right now?
We're getting very close to 300. Yeah, we had our annual team building event about 4 weeks ago, and at that point the count was about 267. But I know that we've hired at least. Another 15 or so people since then. So I anticipate we'll be at 300 by the end of the year. But that's the funny thing, man. It's a brick and mortar business. We have three floors in a 5-story building. It continues to grow. I love it. It's still very much my baby. But I've just been able to, through a combination of, delegation and cutting myself out of certain processes, which a lot of business owners kind of tend to micromanage. Mm-hmm. Last year, 2010, I put that goal in place to become a virtual CEO and not have to be kind of shackled to my desk, 12 hours a day. And I achieved it. And now I look back and I think, I work on the live to sell side of things. I work maybe 10, maximum of 15, absolutely no more than 15 hours a week, mm-hmm. on the live to sell side of the business every week. And that's just phenomenal, considering we've got almost 300 people.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's when I had first heard about you, is when you were starting that journey from having almost like a full time business, having to have your hands on just about in everything, to moving out to nothing, which is amazing. What were some of the steps that you probably should have taken in the beginning, and stuff and steps that you took during that time to be able to cut that time off? Because that's a huge thing for many entrepreneurs.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, the funny thing was, I actually sat down, it all began in December 2009, and I began looking just at my life in general. I don't want to get too philosophical here, because it's not what this chat is all about, but I started to look at things a little bit closer, particularly from the family standpoint, because I had achieved a certain level of success. I wouldn't say I was a success, and I still don't believe that I am a success, but I believe that I've got to the point in my career and my life and business where I'm doing better now than I ever, ever, ever have done before. And so I wanted to kind of take a step back and look at what was really important to me now that things were kind of rolling along quite nicely. And family was obviously a big contributing factor in that. And so I took a step back and I said, right, I'm going to give myself 1 year to be able to try and eliminate myself as much as I can from the day-to-day operations of my core business, which is the Live to Sell group. Mm-hmm. And so what I did is actually, because it was a one-year, you know, goal, I actually broke that year up into 12 mini goals or monthly goals. And so 1 month, for example, I try to remove myself from as much email as possible. And, you know, it got to the point where before I started doing that, I was spending 3-4 hours a day in Outlook, which was just, you know, brain draining at the best of times. Yeah. And so, you know, but I was copying myself, you know, I was getting myself rather copied into every email you can imagine. I mean, every single decision in regards to admin or HR or training or marketing, just silly, silly things to just, for whatever, to just be in the know. You know, and just like any other entrepreneur, you're just a micromanaging pain in the butt, basically. So that was a big thing. So I took myself out as many email threads as I possibly could. And fundamentally, still today, I only receive email from about 5 people that work for me. So they're basically my COO, my HR director, my marketing director, and a couple of other people that are involved in the day-to-day side of things. So that alone cut just hours and hours and hours of time out of my daily activities. But then there are other things, like I knew I needed to hire a few different people to help out in areas in the business where I was very, very active, such as training, the sales and the marketing, even from a recruiting standpoint, because I've been involved in, you know, the telemarketing sector my entire career in one way or another. And here I am running a call center with telemarketers and customer service reps. I believe I know whether someone's got it, you know, when I see them for the first time. And I still believe that. But what I needed to do is train other people to be able to have that skill as well. And so, you know, actually throughout the course of the year, I hired 9 individuals to actually come and replace me in other areas of the business. So there was the email thing, there was the, you know, hiring of different people, there was a lot of different automation that went on internally with the way that we do things as a company, and a whole bunch of other stuff as well. And hasten to say, obviously, by the end of the year, I'd achieved the goal, and here I am. I pop into the office maybe twice a week, sometimes for 3 or 4 hours at a time. And the rest of the time I work either from my home office, which is, you know, fully set up, fully equipped to work. You know, I could work there 60 hours a week and get stuff done if I really needed to. Or, you know, Starbucks, a beach resort, you know, whatever the hell I want on the day, you know, simple as that.
Man. Wow. That is, oh, that, I don't even know how you can do it, because even with my my small staff and all the stuff that goes on, it's like, you know, how do you, you know, it's hard to break away from the stuff, because like you said, you want to be in the know of every single thing that's going on and directing everything, and so taking that away is it's a bit scary.
Well, it's, you know, it is scary, and it's not rare. You know, yeah. For entrepreneurs to be like that. You know, I always say that entrepreneurs, we're a very strange breed of people. You know, we believe that we can do everything and you know, better than everyone else in the entire universe. And because of that, we kind of make ourselves do everything. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is, in this day and age, with the global economy being the way it is, and just with, you know, technology being the way it is, you don't need to do everything all the time anymore. And that really is, you know, the big thing. And that's kind of what I try and not necessarily preach, but I kind of advocate through virtualbusinesslifestyle.com. And I mean, when I started that blog, I started it off purely as a way to be able to kind of chart the course on that journey in 2010 to become a virtual CEO. But, you know, by the end of the year, it was very clear that it'd become an entirely different entity, standing very much on its own. And you know, now the podcast is out there, and I've had some of the biggest, you know, entrepreneurs, best-selling authors, you name it, on that podcast. And I still, you know, these are guys that I admire as an entrepreneur, and you know, they're on my podcast. You know, yep. Just it's pretty incredible how it's kind of, what's happened is it's kind of just evolved, and I never really expected it to to get to the point where it is today. But obviously, I'm very happy that it has. And it's great fun. I don't make any real financial gain directly in any way out of Virtual Business Lifestyle. Obviously, there are people that have found me through the blog or through the videos or the podcast or whatever, and they've ended up doing business with me in some way, shape, or form. But I don't sell anything on the site. It might change in the future, but you know, directly actually selling a product or anything like that, nothing goes on in that regards. It's purely just there as a resource to try and, you know, help as many people as possible.
Love it. The so you're one of the biggest things about your site, aside from having some of the coolest guests on there. Honestly, your podcast is pretty awesome. And I love, like, sometimes you're actually meeting one-on-one with some of the guests, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's such a cool lifestyle. But
I mean, you know, I wish I could do more of that. And I was lucky, you know, I went to Blog World last year, and I had my camera with me, and I had my mic with me, and I was like, I need to do as many, like, real face-to-face interviews as possible. So what I did is, a couple of weeks before Blog World, I started tweeting everyone. And then I kind of, you know, followed up with a couple of emails with a few of the key people. And then literally, when I was there, you know, I would literally just walk up to them. Like, and we're talking guys like Leah Babauta from Zen Habits, who's probably one of the most well-known bloggers on the planet. You know, myself and Leo had never really chatted properly at all before Blog World, but I just went straight up to him and I said, look, I need 15 minutes of your time, man. You got way too much to say for my audience to just completely fall in love with. I'd love to be able to buy you lunch. You know, let's sit down, let's have a bite to eat, let's talk and switch on the camera and blah, blah. And he was so cool. I mean, we ended up having lunch, but it was more of a group thing by the end, and everybody just kind of pitched in at 20, which was cool. And then, you know, we went out and we stood outside the hotel there in Vegas and set up the camera and boom, you know, 15-minute interview and talked about getting into blogging for the first time. It was a great, great, you know, kind of example of what you can achieve if you just go out there and just kind of pursue it. But I did a lot at Blog World, excuse me, and I've been able to sort of track down a few other people and, you know, meet them face to face, either when they're either here in the Philippines or when I've been back in the United States for any reason, you know. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. But pretty much most of them, as you know, I do, you know, via Skype with that whole kind of split screen video thing going on.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. The I mean, but it's the fact, and it's kind of gonna get into what I was gonna ask next is the fact is that you are putting yourself out there and asking and networking with these individuals in order to, because now you have the time that you've cut off the full time work. Now you have the time to promote others and then in turn indirectly promote yourself.
Right, exactly. That's the thing. I mean, if I wasn't able to kind of, you know, eliminate myself as much as I have done from the day-to-day core business, there certainly wouldn't be the opportunity for me to do what I've done with, you know, the Virtual Business Lifestyle brand. And again, I never really set out for that to happen, but it just kind of has happened organically, which has been the really nice thing about it. But you're right. I mean, I think, you know, like anything in life, particularly related to business, if you want something, you have to go and chase it down. It ain't going to fall in your lap. Mm-hmm. If you think that's going to happen, you're high. You know, you're on drugs. Okay? Because it just doesn't happen like that in the real world. Maybe up in La La Land when you're daydreaming, it does. But when you come back down to reality, anything that you're going to achieve as an entrepreneur is going to be out of nothing but pure blood, sweat, and tears. And, you know, working 14-hour days and hustling like mad and, you know, not honestly, even though I love the book, not doing the 4-hour work week thing, because you can't work 4 hours a week. It's impossible and be successful. You just can't do it. You might be able to get to eliminate a lot of what you have in terms of work once you become a success, just like Tim did. But there's certainly no way in the world you can become a success by working 4 hours a week. I just don't believe in that philosophy. And I know a lot of other people feel the same way. So you just got to get out there and hustle, man. That's what it comes down to.
That's awesome. Yeah. And you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. I completely agree that, it's all the hustle like that. And, you do an amazing job with that. The virtual assistants. All right, so this is this is a huge thing that has exploded, and a lot of people don't understand. You know, they'll go to Elance, they'll go to Odesk, they'll go to all these different places. You know, I say that I'm an absolutely new entrepreneur. I am, you know, I'm looking to leverage my time. I'm looking to find someone. Like, what would you suggest as, aside from your virtual staff finder, which is awesome, and definitely plug that because it's such an amazing service. What would you suggest as far as when to hire? What are some of the benefits of having a virtual assistant and so on from a new entrepreneur's point of view?
Well, I mean, you know, it really comes down in terms of when to hire a virtual assistant. It really comes down to a couple of things. And I always say the same thing. What you got to do is get a piece of paper and draw a line down the middle. And on the left-hand side, you write down all the things that you just hate doing. Simple as that. The things that just drive you nuts. The things you don't like to do as a business owner, okay? And, you know, in this day and age, you don't need to do things that you don't like to do. Stop doing that. You don't need to do that shit, because in the real world, there are other people that can probably do the job better than you, and you can pay them for it, and they'll probably enjoy it a lot more than you do. Yeah. So that's the first thing that you write on the left-hand side of the page. The second-hand side of the page, you write all the things down that you do on a daily basis that you feel, as a business owner, you should not be doing, because you could be spending that time in more constructive ways by producing more products, developing more services, spending more time with clients, enjoying more family time, whatever the case may be. So they're the two things right there. And once you've got those two lists, you can then work out what and when you want to start outsourcing, or when you need to start outsourcing. Mm. And excuse me, for a lot of people, that'll actually be a lot sooner than they probably think. Mm. That's a fact right there. So when you're in a position where you want to start outsourcing stuff, you know, like you said, there's a lot of different ways that you can go about it. Yes, the virtual staff finder, you should certainly check out, but I'll make it very clear that I'm the owner of that business, and it is a paid for matchmaking service. It's not a job board or anything like that. And it's very much for people that want either part-time, so 20 hours or so a week, or more constructively, full-time virtual assistants, you know, on a month-to-month basis. So somebody to come in and help you run, support, and grow your business on a regular basis. So just certainly check virtual staff finder out. If you don't want or need that, then quite frankly, you can go to Odesk or you can go to Elance. You know, if you need a website built or you need a logo put together, or you know, an ebook laid out, or some, you know, article writing or transcription done, or whatever the case may be, that those websites are fantastic for what I call project-based work. Now, I am actually developing another company that will rival them in some way, shape, or form, but it won't be on the same kind of path. It'll be a slightly more different professional, you know, kind of service setup. But fact of the matter is, those websites are really good to begin with, because you can just kind of outsource one particular task and see how it works for you. If it does well and you enjoy the experience and the work works out well for you, and obviously at that point you're going to be a convert. You know, you're going to try and start outsourcing as much as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is the biggest pitfall that most people make as far as a business owner when they do start outsourcing? Because I know, at least for me, I went crazy because there's so much that you can outsource, I had a few reality checks. What do you think are some of the biggest pitfalls?
Yeah, you know, reality checks happen a lot in business, just in outsourcing. But I think the biggest problem, the biggest pitfall that people kind of dive into and make is the fact that they don't train their VA properly. Mm. I think that's what it is. You know, a lot of people think that outsourcing is kind of, you know, like a magic button or a pill that you can pop. Absolutely. And, you know, everything's going to work perfectly from day one. And just assuming that your VA knows exactly how you want things done from the outset, without any major real introductory training at least, is just, it's kind of brain dead. It's kind of stupid. I'll tell you a very quick story. We had a client that hired my company for a virtual assistant. And he had his VA put together some online research in regards to some products and things like that that he was looking to have manufactured and put together somewhere. And when she put the product, when she put the report together in Excel, she emailed it through to him, and he came back screaming like crazy. Mm. Oh, I didn't want it like this. Why are you using that font? We use our company colors. Why are you doing this? I don't like it like that. I want this on a separate tab and blah, 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 blah. So I went back to the guy, and this was very early on in our inception. I don't kind of get involved with the too much of the, you know, the operational side of things now, yeah. But you know, particularly from the, you know, the smaller client standpoint. But I went back to the guy and I said, well, okay, fair comment. I can understand you're not happy for some reason, you know, some shape or form. Why? But let me ask you this. Did you tell your VA to use a certain font or a certain typeface or a certain size or certain colors? Or did you give her a template to follow so that she could maybe get an understanding as to the way that you would like things laid out in a report like this? Mm. And there was just silence at the other end of the phone. Right. He had realized that what he had done is made a massive assumption on the fact that he thought his VA was going to be able to do all the work, you know, perfectly from day one. And that's just one example. So I think, you know, a lot of people think that, like I said, outsourcing is a magic pill that you can pop. Everything's going to be fine from day one. It's not the case, particularly if you're going to work with somebody. And this is probably more aimed towards people that are going to work with VAs on a full-time, ongoing basis. You know, they're an employee.
Exactly.
You wouldn't expect to just hire someone and then they would know exactly how to run your business for you or help you run your business. You'd have to train them. If in the real world you have to train them, then therefore in the virtual world, obviously things have to be exactly the same. But it's different if you're hiring somebody to do one particular task, say design a logo from Odesk or Elance. You assume, and you're right to make that assumption, that when you hire a freelance graphic designer, that they're going to have the skills to be able to go ahead and design a logo for you. Obviously, you should do your due diligence and ask to see some of their past work and things like that. But ultimately, that's one assumption that you probably should make. But when you're looking at working with VAs on a full-time basis, that's the biggest issue that I've seen from people. They just don't spend enough time explaining and developing that relationship and training their VAs in terms of the way that they want things done.
Oh, that's great. Like you said, it sounds like they're employees. So, you know, if you had them working locally for you, you would train them on whatever it is that you needed them to do if they were working local. How would you train them? How what are some of the tips that you have for training your VAs? And like, how fast can you go? How slow can you go? I'm sure a lot of that depends on the virtual assistant. What are some of your tips as far as how to make sure that you go from you know, 0 to 60 in a very smooth manner?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you say, it does depend on the VA. When you hire somebody, some of them are going to be more experienced than others. But I mean, you know, for certain tasks, you know, most VAs probably wouldn't have done everything that you want them to do ever before. So, excuse me, there's going to be, you know, there's going to be other things that you can do to be able to train people up. I mean, number one, Skype is great. It gives you the opportunity. Obviously, it's free, which is even better. We're using it right now to record this call. You know, Skype is probably the one tool that I use more than anything else when training my VAs, because it enables me either face-to-face or just audio-wise, verbally, to be able to train and talk people through. Now they've got this really cool new function where you can share the screen so you can actually show them what you want done in real time.
Yep.
Now, I mean, if you want to go one step further than that, screen captures are fantastic in terms of showing somebody how to set something up or how to lay something out if it's a particular report or something that you need done in that regard. If you actually put together these video captures, Camtasia or, you know, Jing or one of those other software packages out there where you can record what's on your screen with your voice talking over, the cool thing about that is that then your VA can play that video over and over and over again until they really understand what they need to do, which is just fantastic. Mm-hmm. And what I do with my VAs is I will record those types of videos or audio even sometimes, and I'll just dump it into Dropbox, and they'll then go ahead and grab that from Dropbox and watch it and, you know, come back to me and you know, let me know that they finished job and they want me to check it out, see whether there's any critiques I can give them and that sort of type of thing. But I mean, ultimately, Skype is great. Dropbox is a tool that I use every single day with my VAs. And videos are really a great way to be able to train as well, because not only do you get the audio, but you get the visual as well. And people tend to kind of dig, you know, visual ways of learning a lot more nowadays.
Yeah. At least with my guys, I always use a lot of the screen capture stuff. And it's easy for them to play back every single time, and you can even collect the videos and so on those at a later date for another.
Well, the other thing is, yeah, exactly. The other thing is, for whatever reason, if things don't work out with that virtual assistant, and let's face it, we live in the real world. Mm-hmm. Sometimes relationships fizzle out for whatever reason. The beautiful thing about using those videos is that you can use them over and over and over again with different staff members as well. So you never really have to train anyone per se. All you got to do is just record great instructional videos as to what you want and how you want it done, and then just kind of let them watch it, you know, two or three times to be able to learn it.
That's awesome. So, all right. So, one of the biggest things that I always get is how do you, okay, I want to get a full-time virtual assistant. It's two things. We'll do two. One is, how much do they typically, you know, what are the typical wage in the Philippines? And then the second, and it seems that at least the wage varies depending on where they're at in the Philippines. And then second is, how do I interview them? How do I make sure that they are really who they say they are and they're able to do what they can do? What are some of your tips? And that's a huge thing with Virtual Staff Finder, and I'd like you to go into that too as well.
Well, with Virtual Staff Finder, what we do is, you know, we kind of take away all of that legwork. You know, posting a job on Elance or somewhere like that, you know, you're going to get a whole bunch of people reply or bid on your job or whatever the case may be. And then you got to go through all these emails, and you got to go backwards and forwards and get resumes and look through them and everything just to be able to find one person. For any entrepreneur out there, they'll agree that time is very much money. And I always say that money can be, you know, earned. It can be spent. Mm-hmm. Money comes and goes. But with time, once you've spent your time, you can never get it back. Mm-hmm. So time is probably the most important commodity for any entrepreneur trying to be able to, you know, grow and build his business. And so for me personally, I'm always a big believer that, you know, ultimately, if you can take away as much of the guesswork as possible, and I think this is one of the reasons why Virtual Staff Finder has become as popular as it has, is that we do take away a lot of that guesswork and a lot of that time, and then we just present you with three finalized candidates that do have the experience, that do have the, you know, the background, and they have had their backgrounds checked mm-hmm. from us locally here in the Philippines. And you then just interview those three and pick the one that you like the most. So, you know, instead of spending sometimes maybe days or, you know, even weeks going through all these applicants, you just literally sit through three interviews. And on those interviews, to answer, you know, the second part of your question, on those interviews, you should generally, 9 times out of 10, what I tend to do is I quiz them on maybe 2 or 3 points in regards to the actual skill sets themselves. Mm-hmm. So if you're hiring, say, an SEO virtual assistant, you want to find out a little bit more in regards to their strategies of link building, benchmarking. Are they, you know, working? Do they have any experience on off-page optimization? Is it all on-page? Or what's their link building strategies? That sort of type of thing. With a general VA, you might want to quiz them a little bit on how they would manage your calendar, or how they'd update your WordPress blog, or, you know, manage your social media accounts, or do transcription work, you know, that sort of type of thing. So 2 or 3 things to kind of really quiz them in regards to the skill sets themselves. But what I really like to do on my interviews, I just like to get to know the person.
Yeah.
Because I believe that attitude is way more important than skill. Because skill can be taught, attitude cannot. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody's got a good attitude and they're perky and they're professional and they're, you know, they feel to me like I'm going to be able to work with them personally, knowing my personality and my kind of work ethic. Yeah. If I ask more questions in regards to them as a person, what they do, what their family life is like, what, you know, turns them on in regards to, you know, getting out of bed in the morning, that kind of stuff. If I do all that, you know, I tend to be able to hire much better people to work with me personally on my projects. So, you know, they're really the tips that I can give you on the interview side of things. And, you know, for me, that's certainly what's worked. That's for sure.
Awesome. That's awesome. The yeah, that's something that I always, at least for me, I always go for English skills. But yeah, that's a big, huge thing is the attitude, because at least, yeah, the ones that have done well have always been someone that I feel as though we have some kind of connection. And I never really thought of that. It's funny. I never really clicked.
You got to think about it logically, right? I mean, this is something that's going to work for you on your business, going to help you run your business, support your business, and grow your business. Mm-hmm. And because of those reasons alone, forget about everything else, just those three reasons alone, you need to be in tune with that person as much as possible. They need to get you as much as possible. And a lot of that is going to be based on personality and the way that they perceive what you're doing and how you're doing it and vice versa.
Great. That's amazing. And so what do, as far as financials, like how much does a typical virtual assistant cost on a monthly?
Well, you know, it's always a big question, and it really depends on experience level and the person you're hiring, plus obviously what you're willing to pay. But I mean, ultimately, a general VA that will do those types of things like transcription, online research, flight bookings, you know, calendar management, managing your blog and Twitter and that sort of stuff, you can usually get away with paying somebody like that around $350 to $400 a month, mm-hmm. full time. Article content writers, around the same amount, sometimes a little bit more if they really, really good writers, mm-hmm. a little bit more. SEO specialists, now we're going up the ladder a little bit. You know, a good SEO person is absolutely worth their weight in gold, particularly if you are really relying on the internet to make money.
Yeah.
So, you know, I pay my SEO guy anything between $500 to $700, depending on what he's working on for me. Mm. But I mean, I have had people work for me on, you know, link building side of things for as little as $300 to maybe $350 as well. Mm. And in terms of, you know, the web development side of things, that really depends on the type of work they're going to be doing for you. But, you know, an average kind of full-time PHP WordPress developer type of, you know, VA, you're looking at probably paying that person around $600 to $700 a month as well. But if you need someone to be doing a lot of customization, plugin building, maybe, you know, developing sites from scratch without themes and things like that, that can sometimes go as upwards to, you know, $1,000, maybe $1,200 a month. But it's nothing compared to what you're paying.
No, that's
domestically,
I mean,
right?
it's amazing. And a lot of people, I already know, like a lot of people that listen to this are going to be like, what? Wait, that's for part time?
Right.
They're going to, it's unbelievable, like what you get. And these are very, I mean, these are typically, these are, English speaking, they are very talented what they do, especially the technical room. You go through each of these, you go through their backgrounds, you go and you meticulously find people who meet the criteria that you're
correct.
Needed, right?
And we only present people through Virtual Star Finder, we only present people that are genuinely looking for full-time employment. They're not freelancers, are not going to hop around from one project to another. These are guys that want that regular income, that want that regular boss, and you know, the stability of having a full-time job.
Exactly. Oh, that's amazing. Okay, just to give folks an idea of what they can get through Virtual Staff Finder, what would you say is the most technical? I don't know how you would say it. The most technical kind of like the most difficult requirement that you've ever gotten that you were able to fulfill successfully with Virtual Staff Finder.
Probably building a full blown e-commerce site for a client.
Nice.
Yeah, he had the site, but it was a piece of crap. To be honest with you. It was all over the place, and he knew it himself. And he had been working very hard on SEO through utilizing another firm, and was really starting to get some solid traffic come through, some real good quality sticky traffic where people were returning more and more and more, but they weren't really buying anything, nothing mad.
Yeah.
And he had like 300 products on this website. And yeah, he wanted it completely rebuilt from scratch. And we were able to find him a guy that, you know, not only handled the WordPress platform for PHP, but, you know, this kid was unbelievable. He was coding in HTML and Java and everything. He was like a 27-year-old kid. Jeez. And had like 4 years experience. And he was phenomenal. I believe he is still working for the client as well. It was about 6 months ago. I believe he's still working for him full time on other projects as well. But yeah, that was probably the toughest one. We've had a few people recently come to us for like iPhone and mobile app development and things like that. And that is the one area where I would love to be able to help people, but it's certainly not something that has become very popular in the Philippines quite yet.
Mm.
So unfortunately, we'll not be able to, we can't help people out on iPhone stuff, but
at least yet.
You can find great guys on Elance for that over in Eastern Europe. Eastern Europe is the big place for that.
Okay. Well, that's good. I had no idea about that. As far as that it wasn't that popular that over there yet, as far as the mobile development for the OS X and
iOS and stuff. The Eastern European stuff is actually very competitive price-wise as well. If anybody wants anything iPhone developed, they should certainly look towards that region of the world. I've even spoken to a couple of people over there myself, and they get it. I mean, not only can they do the work, they really understand it as well, which is a bonus.
Wow. Wow. Well, there you go. That was a huge golden nugget right there for a lot of folks. Wow. All right. So lastly, what are some of the stuff that you're doing? And where can people find you? And some of the things that are going on in the virtual business lifestyle world.
All right. Well, look, I mean, if anybody wants to, pop over to the blog, they can do virtualbusinesslifestyle.com. Pretty much everything that I do business-wise, I kind of document on there. I also have a YouTube channel, which you can get at virtualceo.tv. I have the podcast, which is on iTunes, just under the name Virtual Business Lifestyle. And I have a pretty popular ebook and audiobook companion set, which is free. You can download it at virtualassistantebook.com. And that's about all the plug-in I've got. but I mean, in terms of, what's going on, I'm just going to continue to try and develop the blog into a great kind of how-to resource in terms of building virtual businesses and running virtual businesses. The podcast is something I really, really enjoy doing. We're coming up to, like, I think number 40 or something like that now. What I'll probably do is I'll probably get it to 50 and then take a break for a while. There's so many great guys out there that you can talk to, and it's such a great world, man.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing is that when it comes to business now, the world is so, so much smaller than what it used to be. And just a quick tweet, just 100-odd characters can make a big, big difference to what you achieve in life when it comes to business nowadays. And that in itself is, it's just phenomenal if you think about it. It really is.
Oh, yeah. Here I am with my small rinky-dink business talking to someone who's got a 300-person business right now, and we're just chit-chatting like as if we had known each other for a while, because we've chatted a couple of times before. And I'm an affiliate with your virtual staff finder, which I think is amazing. And I've had people go through it and have loved it. It's amazing. I will tell you one thing about your blog that really it's almost scary is the fact that you reply to almost every, I've never seen you not reply to a comment before. And so I know that my comments need to be good because you're going to reply to it.
No, I mean, my whole deal is this. I work very hard to put the content together for that blog. Sometimes, you know, written posts will take longer than others. If I decide to do a video post, either on my own or with a guest, that, you know, requires a little bit of planning, maybe not as much, but a little bit of planning. And the podcast, obviously, is a lot of going backwards and forwards with people and schedules and getting everything done. But here's the deal. Regardless of how hard I work on the content, and I think every blogger in the world should have this kind of mindset. A lot of them don't, unfortunately, but every blogger in the world should have this mindset. Regardless of how hard you work on your content, if somebody actually reads through or watches the entire video or listens to the entire podcast and then takes time out of their day further, above and beyond just digesting your content, to go ahead and actually comment on it, you better give them the respect that they deserve and comment back and reply back to them. Because if you didn't, then you'd just be a jackass as far as I'm concerned. And so that's my whole deal. I always reply. I mean, obviously, unless it's just a very simple comment like, you know, this was good, I'll be back. Or, you know, I mean, yeah, there are the odd comments here and there that I might not reply to, but I'd say 98% of them I do, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
And you're right, you should put good comments on them. I don't want no crappy comments on my blog. They've all gonna be good. Because the whole thing is this, man, right? The whole thing is this. That blog started out as just a journal, and now it's developed into a tribe. It's a community of people. And I mean, we got, you know, some, it's just insane. Some, you know, post 200 plus comments, 100 plus comments. I think the average now is around 60 or 70 a post. I mean, it's just people helping each other out. They're sharing resources. They're pointing people in the right direction for things that they need for their business. And it's just awesome. And I never could do that on my own.
Definitely.
My own without the people that are in the virtual business lifestyle tribe, as I call them. I couldn't do that. I couldn't offer that much, you know, that much value on my own. I need everybody there. So if they comment on my stuff, you can bet your ass I'm going to reply to it.
Dude, that is the best answer I've ever heard.
Don't give crappy comments.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah, if you're visiting his blog, don't give crappy comments. All right. No, but thanks so much for being on, man. This is definitely my pleasure. And for those of you who don't know, we've been trying to do this for the last, I think 2 months now, and, mainly my fault, but but I'm glad. I'm definitely glad that you were able to come on and share and definitely. I hope every single one of my audience members stops by your site and checks it out.
Well, it'd be great to have them over, with or without a comment. it's been a pleasure to finally, you know, get the schedules fixed up and. Been good to chat with you again. I wish you all the very best and everybody else over at the site. And I'd love to be able to meet everybody if they come on over to Virtual Business Lifestyle. It'd be great.
Awesome. All right, my friend. Have a great one.
And you too.
See ya. All right, everyone. That was a fantastic interview, don't you say? Wouldn't you say? I can't even talk. You know, the fact is that, look at what you could do if you just have a little bit of creativity and able to build a team. I mean, he built a team of 200 people that essentially are virtual assistants. They're all virtual assistants that help his clients to be able to do the things that they want to do. And that's just absolutely amazing. So if you have the time, definitely go check out Virtual Staff Finder. Virtual Staff Finder is what I let my clients do. Anyone who asks me, well, how do I find a virtual assistant? How do I find a virtual assistant? I always point them to Virtual Staff Finder. Now, you saw the tips and you heard the tips and so on from Chris Ducker. And those are, they're great tips. That was a huge gem too as well when it comes to finding virtual assistants in Eastern Europe who know how to do iPhone app development, because that is really, even though it's been around for a long time, the tidal wave is moving towards mobile applications just in general. So as things start getting smaller and smaller and smaller and we start carrying everything around, then we are going to need to have iPhone app developers, iPad, and all those other OSs, those devices that are mobile OSs. So definitely check that out. And if you have any questions, any feedback, and so on, just like I had mentioned at the beginning of the show, check out youcanworkless.com. You can go to youcanworkless.com and contact me. There's a contact form on the top right of there. Or you can send an email. Actually, I didn't mention that before. You can go to the contact form and you can send me an email through that. You can also send me an email at dean@prosulum.com, dean@prosulum.com. You can phone a voicemail message to me, 714-643-5301, or, last but not least, or you can use your iPhone or whatever mobile device to record a memo and shoot that over to me at my email address. There's so many options that you have to send me some voicemail feedback, and I would love to hear it. So, that being said, send me some feedback, and I'll have continue to make some awesome shows that'll help you to take your business from non-existence to existence or just to the next level. All right, guys. Well, I don't have anything planned for the next podcast, so definitely send your questions. I will think of something for the next podcast, but as for now, there is nothing planned. And that sounds scary, right? But guess what? I always have something. So next week, we'll have something good. I might be interviewing Doug Noble. Well, I know I'll be interviewing him, but at some point in time, we will be talking with him and seeing where he is at. He went from being a listener to the show to becoming an entrepreneur, doing some part-time web dev stuff, to going out full-time and doing web dev stuff. And now, what is he doing? I don't know. Let's see. We'll find out what's going on and if he's been successful or not. That is a huge thing. So if you want to do the same thing, definitely keep listening, and we will find ways to get you there. I'm still finding ways for myself, but we will find ways to get you there. We've gotten other people there. Now I just need to get myself, but we'll get you there too. All right, guys. This is SoTotallyBusinessSavvy.com. You can, or sorry, SoTotallyBusinessSavvy. YouCanWorkLess.com. See you guys later.